Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Of course, the phones are open. If anybody wants to call in with any questions at all or share any thoughts, it's obviously to any topic at all. The phone number is 347-426-3543. And we don't have any calls waiting yet. So I just want to start off with making sure everybody out there knows that this week is Brick Police Appreciation Week. And it's from February 15th to February 21st. Last night at our council meeting, we had honored the police. And I want to thank everybody out there who has put out a blue ribbon on their house or on their mailbox, or they lit their homes with the or offices with the blue lights all along here at Town Hall. We have the blue ribbons up on our trees. We have them up all through Town Hall in the interior. And we also have a Town Hall lit up with the blue light bulbs. And it really looks nice, and it's really something that we should be doing. Our men and women of our police force have been working very hard. They are very much appreciated at how safe they do keep us every single night, every single day. It was a really great ceremony last night. The police was lucky enough. They brought their honor guard in to do our Pledge of Allegiance, a nice formal ceremony. And then, we moved on from there, and I did some comments, which I'll talk about later on if we don't get too many calls. But you can also obviously watch all of our council meetings either on B20 or they are also on the internet on our website, and take a look at that because it was a great night. There's a lot of appreciation going around, and they all deserve it. There's been a lot of negative press going on about police forces, and it definitely does not affect Brick. Our police force is top-notch, probably the best in the state, and I'm very proud to be the mayor of this town with that police force. Starting March 3rd, Public Works will be offering curbside collection of rigid plastics. You have to call 732-451-4060 to schedule a pickup. And they're going to be collected on Tuesdays. And there's a bunch of different items that will be included. They are plastic buckets with metal handles, milk and soda crates, laundry baskets, lawn furniture, landscape and microwave trays, and all of these are plastic. Everything has to be plastic. It's hard plastic pickup. Totes of any size, dish drainers, toys and playhouses, car seats, pet carriers, pallets, as long as they're plastic, closet organizers, as long as they're plastic. Everything's plastic. Traffic signs, empty garbage can lids, PET, pet blister packs, computer housing. I don't know what a PET blister pack is, so that's why I'm laughing a little bit. Automotive plastics, such as bumpers, bed liners from pickup truck, and also plastic shelving. So all those, they're basically called rigid plastics, and we're going to have curbside collection of those things. So a lot of people do have these things, and they're hanging around their houses, especially a lot of lawn furniture, those plastic rigid chairs. We're now going to pick them up curbside. You just have to schedule a pickup. It's not an automatic thing. So if you just leave them out there at your curb, the regular truck is going to drive by, be it the regular refuse truck or the regular recycling truck. They're not going to get out of their trucks and pick it up. It's a different truck that's going to come around to pick these things up. It's only on Tuesdays, and you have to schedule an appointment. It's 732-451-4060 to schedule that appointment. All those items can still always be brought to the recycling center, 836 Ridge Road. It's right basically down the road from the reservoir. So if you're on Sally Ike and the reservoir is on your left-hand side, you cross over Herbertsville Road, you make the second right. It's basically like a Y intersection, and that's what we call the hill. And you can bring anything there as long as you're a homeowner here, a taxpayer here, a resident here. You could bring TV sets there. You could bring water coolers there. You can obviously bring any type of garbage there, cardboard. And you basically go up to the gate, and you have to show your tax bill to make sure you're a resident, because we want to have out-of-towners using it. And they'll tell you where to go, and you tell them what you have. They'll tell you exactly where to park and where to put the different things. So, because there's always if you have cardboard only, that's going into the cardboard bin. If you have garbage going in someplace, if you have a TV set, it's going somewhere else. Paint cans, that's all going in different areas. So let the guys know what you have, and they'll tell you exactly where everything goes. And it's a great service. Hopefully, people take advantage of it. I personally always do. I go up there probably once or twice a month because there's things that I don't like leaving at the curb. Right now, I have a water cooler that's sitting out on my back deck because I had a water leak, in my kitchen because the 5-gallon bottle had leaked. It's an older water cooler. So instead of putting it out to the curb, it's sitting on my back deck waiting for me to be able to take it down to the hill, which I will do at some point in the very near future. My wife wants it off the back deck. Anybody who was a Sandy victim, there is a new funding opportunity, and it's called the LMI Rebuilding Program. And it's a program that's funded through the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Fund. But here's what it is. It's LMI. And you don't have to be substantially damaged. With almost all of the funding to date for individual homeowners, you have to be substantially damaged, which is a key word. This one here, you do not have to be substantially damaged. All you have to do is you had to have 1 foot of water on your first floor or at least $8,000 of damage. So $8,000 of damage isn't a lot of damage, and it's definitely not substantially damaged. So you are eligible for these funds. Now, there's some income requirements. A single person, $48,850. A two-person home is $55,850. And a four-person home is $69,806. So if you meet the income requirements and you also had at least $8,000 of damage or 1 foot of water in your first floor, you qualify for these funds. And there's a deadline that's coming up very quickly. It's March 4th, 2015. And please get your application in. It's the first one that I've heard of where you do not have to be substantially damaged. So it's very important for everybody to know about this. If you're a Sandy victim out there listening and you were substantially damaged, you're also available. You know, you're also allowed to apply for these funds. But please tell your neighbors who are not substantially damaged, they qualify for this one thing. So if that word can spread out throughout the community, it would be great. Any type of grant that could be given and helping out everybody in the situation of Sandy is great personally. It's great for your family. It's great for the town. And it's something that everybody should take advantage of. If you want to apply, you can call our office at 732-262-1050, and we will tell you exactly how to apply for that grant. Again, if anybody wants to call in, we don't have any questions yet or any comments or anything, but the phone number is 347-426-3543. And you can also post any questions you would like to our Township Facebook account, and we get to them as we see them. It's only a half-hour show. I know last time we did go over a little bit over the half hour, but it does cut us off at a certain point. So I know a lot of people, they're always waiting until like maybe 3-4 minutes before the end of the show, and that's when they're calling in. I wish people would call in earlier so we can have the conversation going so everybody's not bored to death listening to me only. It's nice to have a little interaction with all the residents, and that's the reason why we do the show. Because we want to hear from you. I mean, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be indifferent. I know a couple of shows ago we talked about whether or not a hot dog was a sandwich. That's a fine question if that's all we have. But anything about building department, DPW, police, et cetera, anything about town, food town site, solar field, all those things, I may not know every answer off the top of my head as I sit here tonight. But what we do is if I don't know the answer, we take down the information, and we get back to you the following day or a couple of days if it might take us that long. I also want to let everybody know, please follow me. I have a Twitter account. It's at Mayor Ducey, all one word. And it's a great way to interact with our residents. During the snowstorms, I've constantly tweeted out there about what where the trucks are, what's going on, whether or not we're putting down salt. I've been out to the state wrestling championship out in Trenton this past weekend, and it was very exciting. I got out there. The Brick Memorial High School team was down. When I first got there, I got there with my son Jack. We showed up a little bit late. It started at 3:30. We didn't get there probably till about 5 or 10 minutes after 4. And it was on Sunday, and we got out there. We fought the snowy roads. There were snowy. 195 was snowy all the way out there to Trenton, and Brick Memorial Wrestling team was down. I apologize, but they came back, and it was a 53-15 win, and it was an exciting match because once my son Jack and I sat down, it was Joanne Bergen's with me tonight. We're having a good time because they're laughing about the fact that it's something funny here happened in the studio, but. Anyway, it ended up being a 53-15 win for Brick Memorial, and it was a great time for me to be out there to witness it personally, and it's a proud moment for all of Brick Township to see Brick Memorial, be able to beat state championships. Now they're moving on to the individual championships down in Atlantic City, and that hopefully individually they'll each do as well as they did that day. When I sat down in my chair and I watched pin after pin, I was very impressed. The one match that wasn't a pin, it was a 15-2 major decision, I guess. The way they fought that day for that championship was very impressive, and the coaching staff did a great job, and all the fans were there to support them, the parents, and then on the way back into town, they had they were let in by the police and EMS. So. With all the fire department and EMS as well as the police. I just want to remind everybody to please shovel your sidewalks. We are taking kind of a no-tolerance approach. It's really something that needs to be done. A lot of kids need to get to school, either their school stops or the bus, or they need to get to school themselves. We have a lot of walkers. So we have to make sure that the sidewalks are all clear. So that our kids can get to school. If not, our code enforcement is going to be out there enforcing that, and you will receive summonses and violations for not shoveling your sidewalks. We do have a question. Okay, we have a Facebook question, which actually is on that exact topic, oddly enough. The sidewalk shoveling on Lanes Mill Road, which is over by Brick Memorial High School and the grade school and middle school over there. Let's go right back to it. It needs to be done. Everybody needs to shovel their sidewalks. Kids have to get to school. Either they're walking to school or they're trying to get to their bus stops. Especially right there on Lanes Mill Road is a serious spot. Chambers Bridge, again, another serious spot, because what happens is very, very busy roads. A lot of people take them either to get to 195, if we're talking about Lanes Mill, or get to Herbertsville Road to the northern part of town. Code enforcement's no longer giving 72 hours notice. For whatever reason, that was the practice in the past, is to say, yeah, you have 72 hours to clear your sidewalk. Well, that's really not acceptable. That's 3 days, obviously, and 3 days of kids walking out in the street of either Lanes Mill, Chambers Bridge, or any Drum Point, you get move on and on. Right now, it's you're supposed to shovel your sidewalk. Everybody should know it, and if you don't do it, code enforcement's going to be out there writing violations. It's definitely unacceptable for any kids to be walking in the street just to avoid somebody who didn't take the opportunity to shovel their sidewalks. It is definitely the homeowner's responsibility. And it's something we're definitely going to be enforcing. I'm not sure why it wasn't done in the past, but it doesn't matter. We're moving forward. Things have changed in town, and this is the way we want our kids to be safe. Looking at something else, our next mayor-in night is Tuesday, February 24th. It starts here at 6 o'clock. It's here at Town Hall. Please stop by if you can. And what we have is we have a number of the department heads are here, and you can meet with the mayor. It's called Mayor's In, because I will be there, of course. But you don't have to meet with me unless you want to. But if you have a direct question, let's say for the building department, and you have a question about a permit, and you can't make it here during the regular business hours, that's why I have these Mayor In nights. You show up at 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock on February 24th, and you have a question about a building permit. You go right to the department head. Dan Newman will be here. He'll answer, help you out as much as he can. He'll answer whatever questions. You don't have to meet with me beforehand. You can. You can come up to me and say, Mayor, I have a question about a building permit. And I'll direct you, obviously, over to Dan Newman. But at least they're here. You know, the department heads, they're the ones who you need the help from. So if you wanted to sign up for a recreation program or something like that, or you had a question about or maybe a suggestion for a recreation program, well, Dan Santinello, our recreation director here, he'll be willing to take that information, willing to discuss it. And that's what's important, is it's after hours. So, you know, a lot of people work, obviously, 9 to 5, 8:30 to 4:30, whatever it may be. And then we're closed. So I want to have at least, once a month where department heads are here and we're able to provide you information. You can meet with the mayor, myself, if you'd like to. And we'll try to resolve whatever issues you can. We have Alyssa Cummins from our engineering department. Like I said, Dan Newman from the building department. We have Glenn Campbell from DPW. The police chief or the deputy chief will always be here. And it's a great night, because you can come when you're not working. You don't have to take off time from work. And you can get your answers that night, which is a good thing. So that is Tuesday, February 24th, and starts at 6 o'clock, and it goes until the last person leaves. Moving over to the council meeting last night, since we don't really have any questions coming in on Facebook and we have no calls, please, please, please call in 347-426-3543 or go to the township website and the township Facebook page. And post your questions there, and we'll get you an answer. Like I said, if we don't have it tonight, we will look into it and get back to you. But going over to last night's council meeting, we were fortunate to have Ocean County Engineer Frank Scarantino and John Ersch. They made a presentation last night about the upgrades to Parkway Interchange 91. Basically, they said it's obviously designed to alleviate traffic issues on Burnt Tavern Road and Lanes Mill, that whole area up there. Just to let you know, they're expecting it to be completed February of 2017. So we're talking 2 years from now. It really wasn't, an interesting project. It's going to be an interesting project. They did say that all the clearing of all the trees is now done. That's the first step they had to do beyond engineering work and site work. So all the clearing is done. So what you see, and I'm not talking about the Parkway expansion. That's a different project. So the fact that the shoulders are widening or whatever else is going on the Parkway, totally different than the actual interchange up there on Burnt Tavern Road at exit 91. But all the trees are down. And what's going to happen, let's say you live at Evergreen Woods or off of Herborn Avenue. You're basically going to go straight across now. Herborn Avenue. You're going to go straight across Burnt Tavern, and behind where behind the Wawa, there used to be a bunch of trees between the Wawa and Bernie Cook Park, and that's now going to be a street. It's called the Herborn Extension. It will eventually just be called Herborn. And you go, and then you're going to come back out to Lanes Mill Road. If you're looking at the front of Wawa, you're going to be to the left of the Wawa, and right there is going to be a traffic light. And you're going to have three choices of what to do with that traffic light if you live at Evergreen Woods or down that way. You're going to be able to go right to go onto Lanes Mill and go towards, the center of town where turns into Chambers Bridge on the other side of 88. You're going to be able to go left and go towards Burnt Tavern Road. Or you're going to be able to go straight right across, cross over Lanes Mill Road, and you're now going to be on Parkway South. That's going to be the southbound entrance. Let's move over to Burrsville Road. If you're on Burrsville Road coming from the hospital going towards the current 91 entrance, before you get anywhere near that current 91 entrance, you are going to be making a left-hand turn off of Burrsville onto the Parkway north. There's going to be a traffic light there as well. So you're going to be on Burrsville coming from the hospital, going towards the current 91, or going towards Burn Tavern Road. You're going to be able to make a left-hand turn before you get to Burn Tavern Road and get directly onto Parkway North from there. Right next to that is a exit from Parkway North. So if you're down in Atlantic City and you're coming north, you will now be able to get off of the Parkway onto Burrsville Road directly there. If you're off of, let's say you're living off of Van Zyl somewhere and you want to get onto Parkway North, you're going to make a left onto Burn Tavern, as you currently do. But now where the Santander Bank is, the one that's open, not the one that's being built, the one that's currently open, that's going to be where you're jumping on. That's going to be a Parkway entrance right there. You're going to drive right through where the Santander Bank is. You're going to cross over Lanes Mill Road, that extension of Lanes Mill Road, and you're going to pass Cherrywood, and you're going to be on Parkway North, going north there. If you're coming from the north, such as you go to commute up to the up north and you're coming home, so you're on Parkway South. If you're going towards the center of town, meaning where Town Hall is, you're still going to get off where you get off now, and you're going to go straight through the light at Burn Tavern. You're going to continue on down Lanes Mill Road there and obviously go to center of town. If you live off of Van Zyl, or if you live Bridge Ave, those types of areas, you are now going to continue a little bit further down the Parkway, and then eventually there's going to be an exit off to the right that goes behind the Shell station as it does now, but it's not going to be the same ramp that you're using now. So the interchange is going to have every direction on, every direction off, but it's going to take a long time. It's not going to be completed until February of 2017. We do have another question on Facebook. It's from Janet. She wanted to know about the vacant houses in Brick and whether or not they are, or I guess they are, bringing, she thinks they're bringing down the value of her house. The vacant houses in Brick, what we're doing, and I don't know if this question is Sandy related or non-Sandy related, but if they're vacant and it's Sandy related, there are some delays with funding. So people are waiting for the grants, they're waiting for insurance money, and those applications are in. If it's non-Sandy related, it's a different situation. The non-Sandy related is we've passed a couple different ordinances. Vacant houses of Brick are now, we have a property maintenance board, which meets once a month, and they discuss a number of the houses. So first of all, we need Janet to call us here at Town Hall at 732-262-1240. Let us know where this house is, because it may not be on our list. But we have a list of a number of different houses that are vacant, and a majority of them, if they're non-Sandy related, are owned by banks. The banks have foreclosed. We passed an ordinance that the banks are required to repair those houses. They're required to get the lawns cut, trim back the bushes, make them look presentable. But we need to know where those houses are. So Janet, please tell us where that address is. It might be on our list already, which is good. But one of the first things they do with the vacant houses, they do board them up, because we do not want animals or people going into vacant houses. So it does look unsightly for a period of time, but if it's something more than that, if there's grass overgrown, if there's bushes overgrown, or gutters falling down, garage doors falling down, there's all sorts of different levels of vacant houses, that needs to be addressed by our code enforcement and our property maintenance board. Property maintenance board, they bring those the people who own those houses in, and they're responsible for maintaining them, whether it be the homeowner, and a lot of times now it's the bank. But luckily, the council was able to, they all agreed on passing an ordinance to hold the banks responsible. And it's a very important ordinance, because that's a majority of vacant houses. They're owned by banks, and banks are like, we'll just let it sit there for a bunch of years because we'll sell it eventually, and who cares if the thing's falling down and And, you know, the property is what the real value, not the house. So who cares about it? And we don't have the time to do that. Well, not here in Brick. Banks are responsible for maintaining the property, maintaining the house. And if not, they're brought before the property maintenance board. They are fined. They're required to make the repairs. And we've had a number of them. We had one with had severe damage to it, and the property maintenance board held their feet to the fire. That there are certain requirements as far as time, but the bank asked for I think 60 days to make repairs, and they're on top of it. So please let us know where that house is, and make sure it's on our list, because that's the most important part. If they are Sandy related. Originally, there were some different programs that were discussed if people were not going to be able to get any funding. There's one thing called Blue Acres, which where a property owner would just ask the state to take, basically to take their house or to buy their house and make it open space. We only had one house out of all of Brick that asked for that program. So we're not sure if they're going to be accepted into the program or not. Up in the north areas where there was a bunch of rivers that would flood over and over again, and people were flooded out of their houses, that it was called Blue Acres as opposed to Green Acres, which people hear about with our parks. The Blue Acres program, up in the north with these rivers flooding and repetitive flooding and people were tired of their basement flooding or their first floor of their house, they were a lot more willing to give up their houses under that process. But here in Brick, people are proud to live here. They want to live here. They want to maintain their house here. So they're not interested in the program. But like I said, we had one application in the whole entire town as a result of the state asking, do people want to give up their houses if they did flood during Sandy? And only one person, one homeowner, had an interest in that program. We do have another. Nope. Okay. There's only a couple minutes left. And unfortunately, there's not many questions coming in tonight. We did have a couple Facebook questions, nobody calling in. So sorry you had to listen to me the whole time. Next time, hopefully more people will call in. Again, the number next time, 347-426-3543. Again, the Twitter account to follow. Me, my personal Twitter, it's at Mayor Ducey. So please check me out there. I do give a lot of different town updates, different things that are going on. This past weekend, I was at a Challenger bowling event. I posted about that. Obviously, I talked earlier about the wrestling event. So try to keep everybody up to date of what's going on around town. We do have a couple minutes left, and there was another Facebook question that came in about an update on the heroin problem. That is a huge question. We're only supposed to go to 7:30 here, and it's 7:28. But I'll let you know what we're doing here in town. Basically, it is a severe problem, and we're trying to do as much as we can. And a lot of people point out years ago, I guess we were known as the safest community in America. We are still up there. It's this question from Patrick, and just to let you know, a number of things we're doing. We're working closely with the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office. What we did as a council and as mayor here, we doubled our DARE team. And our DARE team is police officers that go into our fifth graders here in town, and they touch the lives of 950 to 1,000 fifth graders a year. They teach them the skills of how to make the right choices once they get confronted. With the situation. And from there, we also have a Junior Explorer program. And those are basically police camp graduates, and we want to get the kids involved at a younger age, get kids involved going down the right path. We just started this past year, school year, a Lead and Seed program, which is for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in town. And it continues on the education that they learned from the DARE program. And now what it does is it turns around, and now the kids are the ones doing peer-to-peer mentoring in the Lead and Seed program, which is very important. We have our police department is great. I was talking about Police Appreciation Week earlier. We had an arrest made at a huge input from our police department. It was 37 people who were supplying heroin here to Brick. They were arrested, and they were arrested in a large part because of our police department. We have reinstated the SET team, which is the Special Enforcement Team, and their basic focus, almost solely, and I say that, you know, because they do have other purposes, is for gang activity and drug dealing. And they've reduced significantly the drug activity. But they're great. They're undercover guys. They're out there, and or women, and they're out there. They're doing all they can to stop the activity. And they were a large part, like I said, in stopping a huge supply of heroin that was coming in here to Brick. Our police department works very, very closely with the Ocean County Sheriff's Department, the Ocean County Narcotics Strike Force, the ATF, the U.S. Marshal Service, the State Police, the Secret Service, the FBI, also with surrounding towns, Toms River, Lakewood. Everybody has to work in conjunction because this stuff is hurting our families, hurting our society here. The council, together with the PBA, the police union, we were able to institute a booking officer program, and what that means is more officers on the street. It's basically we're allowed to have special officers now do the fingerprinting of people, the photographing, the taking the basic information. Before this past year, a regular police officer was taken off the street. He was doing all that. That made no sense. We want more officers on the street. Another one is the court security program. We had to have our police officers here in town hall. They were the ones doing the security for the court. We want more officers on the street, not standing here in municipal court for people who already were written up for a ticket or written up for a summons. So now we have special officers doing that court security, and we have our regular officers back out on the street because that's where they need to be. You definitely cannot arrest your way out of the problem, and that's why, in addition to all the police things we just spoke of, we have the DARE program. We have the Junior Explorers. We have the Lead and See. We reinstituted the BMAC program, which is the BRIC Municipal Alliance Committee, and that is a committee that's our drug prevention, drug alliance. It engages kids who are in the high school age to stay off drugs and to be educated about drugs. That was done away with by the prior administration. We brought it back. It's a very important time, and it's a very important issue, and for whatever reason, for a couple of years it was gone, and that's when the heroin epidemic has spiked throughout our town. We brought that back. They're very much engaged. We're applying for grants. The grant should be granted in June. One of the first things they're doing as part of the grant, they're setting up a mentoring program over at Maple Leaf Park here in town. It's through the PAL, a Police Athletic League. And setting up a mentoring program where it will be, the PAL is going to meet with these kids over in Maple Leaf. So all that, you can't arrest yourself, can't arrest your way out of the problem. So we're doing it from every single aspect we can. You're going to see the council is going to be passing some land use laws dealing with these absentee landlords that allow criminal activity to happen in these rental units. We're going to try to be able to take care of that problem from a land use and a code enforcement aspect. So we are doing a lot for this heroin problem. It is a problem. There's a treatment problem. There's not enough beds for people who want to get treatment. That's a larger issue than just here in Brick. But locally, we're doing as much as we can from hitting fifth graders on up through high school and continuing on. And if we have to, get into the police enforcement aspect of it. But we're hitting it from all angles because we want to put an end to it. It's definitely a sad situation and something that needs to be contended with. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, the Jersey Shore, you look at Ocean County, and half of the list of the highest heroin use is here in Ocean County, Weretown, Lacey, Toms River, Jackson, here in Brick, Lakewood. And then you see a lot of the larger cities, Newark, Jersey City, Trenton, et cetera. But unfortunately, us here in Ocean County, we're part of it, but we are not taking a back seat to it. I also want to talk about another one. There was an arrest that our police office, the police department made. 22 people were arrested. 7 cars were seized. 3 illegal guns were taken off the street. $142,000 in cash was seized. 3 kilograms of heroin, 2 kilograms of cocaine. Those drugs have over $1 million value, street value. And our police officers here in town were able to make that arrest over the past year. So police officers, again, do a great job. It's Police Appreciation Week, so that's the way I'm kind of going to wrap it up here and say thank you to the men and women of our Brick Township Police Department for doing all you do and keeping us safe and keeping us as crime-free as we can, and to being out there and just doing the great things you do. From that huge arrest on to the officer who pulled over and talked to some kids over at Windward and showed them the lights, how the lights and siren work on his car. Everything here in town that you guys do at the police department is very much appreciated, and thank you very much. And again, please call in next time, 347-426-3543. Follow me on Twitter, @MayorDucey. And I will talk to you next time on Talking Brick.